Episode 47. Get out of here, Satan. What up, everybody? We hanging out with the OGs today.
Yes, sir.
Just me and Chris holding it down. Appreciate all the guests we've had on. If you would like to be a guest, please contact us at 79 Cent Salvation on Instagram.
Unless you're trash, you can.
Hey, brother.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's real.
True. Nah, but we're very grateful for all the support and all the guests and everyone who's listening. Today, we're going to start off with a little bit of scripture, but before that, let's get into prayer. Dear God, we just thank you, Lord, for every moment, every second. God, Lord, your good and perfect will always prevail, and it is evidence right now, Lord, just in the way we are gathered in your holy name, Lord, speaking your truth and your light, God. Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would lead this time, that you would open the hearts of those listening, God, allow them to hear your truth, Lord, and I pray that it would create movement, Lord, that it would get them into action, God, Lord, and that our listeners, Lord, would continue, Lord, to seek you with a full heart and a full mind, God. Holy Spirit, just activate in this time, and Lord, we ask that thy will be done. In your almighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so I'm going to start off with a little bit of scripture. Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who are the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the glory and praise. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with the holy seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion in every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen. All right, so like it said, this is just Paul reaching out, really just giving thanks for the faithfulness of the people of Ephesus and their commitment to Christ, you know. But he makes it very clear that the faith they're showing is not by their own doing. The faith is truly a gift from God himself, you know, and this gift comes from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is only given because Jesus left the Holy Spirit when he ascended back into heaven. And this chapter right here has just really been impressed upon my heart this week to get out of self-reliance, to get out of myself, you know, because so many times, you know, I just am so focused on me and I should be doing better. And that is not at all what this chapter says, you know. It's literally, it's all by God and it's for God that we are here. And it's because of him, his good and perfect plan, that we have received this gift, the gift of faith, the gift of salvation, you know. We are only saved by grace, his glorious grace, which he has freely given us, the ones he loved. He just so loves us. We are so loved and so cherished by God. And not to put ourselves on a pedestal or to make ourselves seem like we're more than we are. It's truly just to recognize how awesome our Father is in heaven, and that this process that begins once we receive the Holy Spirit, once we get faith, this journey of sanctification, you know, the sanctification is going to be our topic today, which is the action of making or declaring something holy, the action or process of being freed from sin or purified. And this is the process that we're in right now. You know, it says when we received the Holy Spirit, we were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So once we receive that gift, it's guaranteeing God that he's going to see a return on his people, that one day when we are redeemed, when we come to know God because of the Holy Spirit, we're going to get up to heaven, we're going to see him, and we're going to praise him, we're going to worship him. But in the meantime, we're in this constant process of purification where we're trying to be rid of sin so we can be seen as blameless and perfect in his eyes. And it's a constant battle, it's a constant, you know, fight to be walking this out. But the beauty of this chapter is that we're not in it alone, and it's not at all based on ourselves. It is based on God and his infinite love for us, you know. So this week we're just going to talk about how much God loved us and how he shows it through this gift he's given us.
Yeah, and so we're doing sanctification based on our topic last week. We had Nisu come on, and he went into a conversion for us, and so we can kind of see, I don't know, the true marks of a Christian as scripture tells us. One thing I think that we talk about is you can't judge a person, right? We shouldn't judge, and to some degree that's true, but we also are told that you can know someone based on their fruit. And so in that sense, you can judge someone's fruit based on how they act. And you know, I think that we can really see the love of Christ in people who are saved, and that's not to say that we're not all still sinners, but you can definitely tell the difference in a believer, right? And so the sanctification, the whole idea, right, is just that God is setting us apart for his own glory. God's setting us apart for himself, and it's all by his grace that we get that conversion, and the conversion leads to our sanctification. The sanctification, right, the whole thing is a process. It's not a one-day thing. That's, I think, something for me, at least in my faith journey, that I've struggled with immensely, is like, how come I'm not perfect now, right? Like, I've been saved, and I should have all this, right? Like, all my sin should be far from me, and it's just not true, right? We still struggle with the flesh, the devil. The one verse that says, you know, the sins or the temptations that we have are common to man, you know? So it's like, I still have all the same temptation that any man, saved or not saved, has.
Yeah.
And so the sanctification process is just me becoming set apart, right, me becoming more holy. So the verse that I'm going to read, it's out of 1 John, and I think this really touches heavily on, right, a big part of what this looks like. It says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." So the idea is that we're becoming more like Christ. That's the process that we're going through. And that one verse right there, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And so it's like, for the world who does not know God, I don't know how well. That's deep, actually.
Dude, that's sick.
Yeah.
The one who does not know us. Or the one that does not know him will not know us?
No, the reason why the world does not know us
is because they don't know him?
Because they don't know him.
Oh.
See, what do you think that's saying? That you think that's saying that they wouldn't even know that we're in Christ because
they don't
know God? They
wouldn't even understand our fruit.
The difference, yeah. How would they know that we're holy?
That's probably where the whole Jesus freak comes from, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, people are like, those dudes are freaked out. Why are they acting so crazy
about Jesus?
Because they don't believe, so they haven't received that gift of faith. So what we do on a daily basis, this process that we're in, the process to them could seem nonsense, you know?
Yeah.
Because they don't understand it. They don't know. But that's why it's so important for us to walk it out in faith, because like we've said so many times, the only Jesus people may see is through our fruits, right? Dang, that's deep. That's a good verse. Fire, what verse is that?
That's 3 John, or 1 John chapter 3.
3 John.
3 John. 3 John.
Bro.
But to that, dude, it's literally, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, when you said that's fire, because that was literally what I was thinking about, is when you said, you know, you'll know a believer by their fruit, but a true believer, you know what I'm saying, the fruit only comes from true belief. And like it said in this Ephesians 1, when you believed, you were marked in him with the Holy Spirit. So you'll know if someone is believing because the Holy Spirit is active in their life and the fruits are apparent.
Moving.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the one, that's fire. That lines up perfect with that verse.
That's good. Yeah, and just reading it right now, like, I felt the peace. Mm. Like, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Mm. And so it's like that purification process.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've done it before, the example of like this, when you actually purify steel, or silver? I can't remember which metal it is, but when you basically, what the purification process is you dip it in fire,
mm.
and then it brings all the impurities to the top, and then you scrape it off, and then you do it again, you put it in the fire, bring it to the top, scrape the impurities off. And at the end, when it's at the maximum, all the impurities are out, you can see a reflection of whoever was purifying it. And the idea is that we're the sword and God's the one purifying us.
Bro, and we're constantly being dipped, bro. In the fire, dog.
Painful.
That fire. Rejoice. Is the sanctification.
Rejoice.
And what a lot of Christians will do, this was said today in the sermon I heard from Pastor Hal Mayer. In John 17, it says, be in the world, but not of the world.
Dude, I heard that before. It's fire.
And that's what we're called to be, as the light, as the believers. You know, we're marked. So we're supposed to take this gift that we've been given, the Holy Spirit, and go into the world, but be set apart, like you're saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's supposed to be very, very clear that we're believers.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're not supposed to go fit in everywhere. We're supposed to stand out because of this gift that we've been given.
Right.
You got to steward the gift properly, or else... What's
the point?
Just
like everybody else.
Yeah, you just blend it in. We're not called to blend in. You know what I'm saying?
There should be something radically different about the way you behave. Mm. Yeah. I think that's good, especially too with like American culture.
Mm.
I think we're so pulled into,
dude,
like, you know what I mean? Falling into culturally, like what everyone, it's like, you know, that's something that I've been meditating on, is like how much American culture has infiltrated the church. It's really Satan's way of, like,
bro,
destroying,
amen,
the church. And it's through greed, right? The prosperity preachers, or through, you know,
envy, coveting, being jealous of the next man,
because you're
not where you want to be, but you want to be where they're at.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Worldly things,
Dude, that's sick.
Yeah. And that's just it, is like, I don't know, I think there's a lot to go with off of this, but basically, like, following the definition closely is, like, what, for whoever's listening, like, this is the question I ask myself, is, like, what in my life could somebody who's never heard about Christ look at me, right?
And identify
and say, like, and, like, then I, you know, and I, they just look at me, how I act, how I behave, how I talk. And then somewhere down the line, I talk about Christ, and then they're like,
and it makes
that
sense.
Guy, yeah, like, that makes sense.
And that's
sense
what
about
brings that verse together.
On. Yeah.
That's fire.
Yeah.
Dude, but that's so crazy.
Dude, we stepped too hard too early, bro.
Yeah, we got,
praise God.
We got in deep. Praise the Holy Spirit.
Praise
Thank you,
the
Jesus.
Holy Spirit.
But that's it's it. So crazy, because think about it. When you're a young kid, your main goal is to fit in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, just like Homeboy was talking about 2 weeks ago, bro. That's
Matt,
yeah. Mm.
Yeah, if you haven't, go back 2 weeks and listen to Matt.
Maybe.
But, you know, as a child, your goal is to fit in. You want to go to school and you want to be like everybody, right? But then for some reason, as time has gone on, and in this culture, especially we live in today, like, everybody wants to be so different, you know, but different for the wrong reasons. You know what I'm saying? But
they're not even different, dude.
No, because it's a bunch of people trying to be different. So everyone's just like...
Right, but it's like... So, like, the big thing to a sanctification is, like, what... Like, why are we different? You know what I mean? Why are we different?
Because our different is to glorify Jesus, whereas the different that the culture is in is to glorify the world and to have these selfly gains, you know, these treasures while we're here in the world, instead of being focused on the main treasure, which is salvation, and then spreading that salvation to others.
Yeah. And that's it. And I think so, like, and that's what Romans talked about, dude, was like the you're dying to sin and you're becoming a slave to God.
Bro.
So he said, like, bro, I got you.
Bro, I'm literally, I'm on that right now, bro. In Ephesians 4, it's titled Instructions for Christian Living. It's 17 to 32. It says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as Gentiles do. So the people of the world, the unbelievers.
Pagans.
Yeah. In the futility of their thinking. So their futility, what does that word mean? It means, is pointless.
Pointless, yeah.
So the way of their thinking is pointless, and it has a end date. It's over eventually. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed.
Damn.
That's the world. That's the world we're living in today. But he comes in and says, that, however, is not the way of life you have learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must no longer steal, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may be benefit to those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
So that's it. Like, that's what a sanctification
is. It's a fine line, because he lays out both sides, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But then he comes in and he tells us how the world's living. He says, however, that is not the way of life you've learned.
Yeah.
Once you have that mark, you believe, and through that belief, you get into the scripture, right? You get into prayer, and in this process of sanctification, we're talking about you grow in maturity, spiritual maturity, and no longer do these things seem pleasing to you that the world is so caught up in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just fitting in, kind of sneaking in under the radar is no longer our mission. You know, the goal is to walk into a room and just in your movements and your actions and your words, you know, in the way you bring peace to a chaotic situation, you know, the way that someone could talk crazy to you, but you don't retaliate. You come
understand,
with peace. You can see the sickness in them that you once lived in.
Yeah.
But Paul is telling us not to stay in that sickness. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't want us to live in this life of evil and of darkness that we so often get caught up in. You know, he wants us to be set apart. And our choice is to either follow this faith we've been given or to turn to the world. And every time the world's going to fail us, whereas God never does.
Yeah. I think that's like one of the things that we look at when we look at the law, you know, because the law is dead, right? We're saved by grace, and that's what we fall into, right? Like our whole everything is just grace of God. For me, it's been like, because the law is there for the reason that is godly behavior, and it's kind of stamped, I think, on our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even necessarily need, right? I mean, I didn't really get into scripture a lot until later on, but I knew certain things that I were doing would have been wrong, you know? and it didn't come from a book or from someone telling me. It was just like...
In Romans 2, it says you were born knowing the difference between right or wrong.
Yeah, like that conscience. And so it's like, for me, it was always like, right, so we have this sin, like the fall of Adam. We end up getting these sinful flesh and all this. The sin enters the world. It wasn't here to start. God did not create the world and put sin into it, but because of the fall, sin comes into the world, and so now we're condemned to this struggle, this battle, right, where it's like being good and being bad. And for me, I always looked at being good as like not something I wanted, and today it's like I look at it and it's like that's where fruit is, and that's where peace is, and that's where holiness is. That's where things that are actually everlasting, where things that are actually good lay, you know, that's where they live, and that's where they dwells, is being a good person. And so something that my preacher has talked to me is like, they didn't have Jesus in the Old Testament, so they loved the law. They didn't love Jesus, they loved the law. And so people who truly had that strong faith, they loved the law. And he's like, but we're also called to love the law, right? We are called to I should love the law. And like every time I sin and I turn against God, it should be disgusting to where it turns me to repentance, to where my sanctification becomes stronger, right? I wrote a thing, and I don't know if I ever read it, but it's James basically talks about rejoicing in the suffering. He's talking about temptation is something that I wrote something. I actually had Wally edit it. And so we wrote it together.
Amen.
Amen. But basically, like, his whole thing is like that process, that temptation is a process that's going to make you more holy, and that you should rejoice when you're tempted. Where I wasn't, I never used to do that. I always used to be tempted and I'd be like,
This sucks.
This is the worst. Like, I hate fighting the flesh. I hate fighting the world. It's a battle, but that's a good thing. It's divinely inspired, right? Like, I wouldn't say that it's divinely inspired. Like, God's putting temptation in you, but because he doesn't tempt anyone, but that he could stop it. I do believe that God is sovereign and that he could stop it, but he doesn't, because he can use it for his purpose. He can use it for our sanctification. He can use it to become more like Christ. And so instead of being like, damn it, I'm being tempted, it's like fall into faith, right? Like I fall into prayer, I fall into scripture, and so that my reliance becomes heavier on God and less on myself and my flesh. And then through that, I become more like Christ. And you see that on Christ's walk, dude. Like he's always leaning into his Father, right? Like he's always like leaning back into his Father and giving his Father the glory all the time.
Every time he faces great temptation or trials, what does he do? He separates himself and he goes and prays. He falls on his face to his Father.
Or even when Satan tempts him, he's just doing scripture, bro. Yeah. Just spitting scripture back.
Bro, and isn't that crazy? That shows how much growth is in you, because when you used to face the temptation and it was like, this sucks.
You
used to give all the power to the devil.
Yeah.
We get tempted by something and we're like, oh, the devil is after me.
Yeah.
Bro, this says right here in what I just read, Christ gave us dominion. He gave us power and authority over everything, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. We have full dominion, bro.
This is off topic, but I'm going to do it.
Go for it.
Dominion mandate. Did I talk to you about that?
No.
Bro, we couldn't talk this week, bro.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's all right. I'm talking now. Praise God.
Praise God, yeah. Dominion mandate I learned about it last week. And so if you go back into Genesis, this does not have anything to do with sanctification, but just because you read that. So the dominion mandate is basically God's, like, this is God's command before sin ever comes into the world. He says, go and populate the world. And so later on in Genesis, so Adam falls, and later on in Genesis, God goes back to Noah and he's like, hey, bro, same, there's sin in the world now, but same plan. Yeah. We have the same game plan. Mm-hmm. You're going to go and populate the world, right? Like that's, you have dominion over life, basically. Like the dominion mandate is that God is saying, and you work the fields, work is good. Like for those of you, That is wrong, right, for me to come into work and be like, I hate this, because it's God's will that we should work. He says, be fruitful, right? Like, go harvest. Obviously, we don't do a lot of harvesting nowadays, right? It's
unless
like
you're Raheem.
Yeah, like this world is, yeah, Raheem's literally a farmer, dude. Yeah, that's lit, actually. He's literally following scripture to a T.
Praise God.
Praise God, dude. And so what happens is during the... So Jesus comes, and so the dominion mandate gets expanded. Jesus expands it to, you're not just forcing, like pushing like more people and populating, but your pop, it's a spiritual dominion mandate. So the Great Commission, the Great Commission is a part of the dominion mandate. He's saying, go and spread this Holy Spirit, go and give this Holy Spirit. So we're actually, we're called as disciples to go and put that Holy Spirit around. Like we want it to take over the whole world. We want this whole world to be full of the Holy Spirit, where there is no evil and Satan can't dwell. And so like, that's a part of that dominion
mandate. Baptize the world by Spirit.
Yeah. Mm. So it's not just populating like through, you know, having sex, but like actual spiritual, like spiritual dominion mandate of like
That creating that new fellatio.
Sons, creating sons of God, not just sons of man, but sons of God. Mm. Yeah.
Fellatio.
Fellatio. Mm. What is that? Why are you doing that, bro? Go, fellatio.
That's one of the types of love that we give to each other.
I never knew that, bro.
Yeah. And you know how, like, in rap, they're always like, that fellatio. Lil Wayne always talking about that fellatio. Jesus wasn't talking about that. He was talking about that spiritual love. Yeah, it's a Greek word for love. It's one of the types of love.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Because one time.
Phileo.
Phileo?
It's not fellatio, dude.
Oh, brother.
Dude.
Rebuke me.
Bro, it's not.
No, phileo. Hold on, let me look it up. I got to Google that
it's
now.
It's phileo love, bro, phileo? Not fellatio.
Fellatio is a love making.
Yeah, bro, that is not. Oh, dude. Oh, brother.
No, okay, that's good that you cleared that up.
Yeah, that would have been.
Yeah, no fellatio, phileo.
Because in my head, bro, I'm like, I know like a little bit of Greek, bro, and I've never heard that yet.
Oh, bro, because one time I went up to get prayer, and I was talking about my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, and he said, go have some phileo. And I thought he was saying fellatio, and I was like, we're not married yet. We can't do that.
Oh, bro. And we're learning, dude.
Amen. And praise God.
Learning, yeah.
Oh, no, but literally, the Great Commission, bro, we're called to go out and baptize by the Spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
To bless those with the Spirit, to help them to understand that idea of baptism, the dying to self and being brought to life in Christ. And the only way to be brought to true life, the eternal life, is through the gift of the Holy Spirit.
That's it. It's fire. Dude, I'm telling you, he's nuts. Yeah, shout out Pastor Kurt, dude. He's
Pastor Kurt, you're a real one.
And dude, when he started, I didn't understand any of it. He preached like all about it, and I had to talk to this dude, Noah, afterwards, and he like clarified the whole thing, and I was like, oh, that's fire, bro. Yeah. But that was cool. But back to sanctification.
Yeah.
Little sidebar.
Yeah, it was a good sidebar.
It was good. But anyway, so, yeah, being holy, that tore me off a little bit. But yeah, no, so just... I don't know, I guess like the other big thing that I wanted to talk about, and I've talked about it before on here, is like not being, like being set apart, the process is finished at death. Ooh, dude, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to find it.
What?
Dang, bro, I took that picture a while ago.
What was it about?
It's John Calvin, dude. Here, do you got anything to say real quick? Because I think this is it.
I want to know what you're about to say.
Bro, basically Calvin says... Oh, it's the thing I sent you, bro. Is only finished at death. Mm. And I was like, bar. And you were like, bar, bro.
For real.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. Let me find it.
Yeah, but I think our encouragement in this message is truly uniting ourselves with Christ. You know what I'm saying? Because we are not strong enough to stand firm in this. It is only by his strength that foundation is laid, and it's our job to stand there and to be upheld by the power of his Spirit, because on our own power we cannot do this. We cannot complete the Great Commission. You know what I'm saying? We can't save anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's God's will,
you know?
Bro, just as you were talking before.
Yeah
I got it.
Go ahead.
So I read a whole like 20 page doctrine a while ago. This dude sent it to me about the war. And so this will go into actually some very good topics, because, you know, we talk a lot about it's 100% in God's hands that I get saved. And so something that in my early, like studying theology and all that stuff, something I struggled with that, Nisu and, can't remember his name, Jack, you know, talked to me about was like, yeah, God is going to do this, but it doesn't mean that's not a painful process, and it doesn't mean that you're not here to, you're still fighting a battle. Mm. You're still fighting a war. And so, yes, ultimately I lean into God. But when I get tempted, that's still going to be painful. And I can lean into my flesh or I can lean into God. Mm. Right? And it's going to be God who takes it from me. Mm. Right? But I do have to go through that painful process of the refinement. I have to go in the fire. And I have to come out of the fire, right? Like, I have to get all the way through that process. But first of all, I'll read this. And indeed, this restoration does not take place in one moment or one day or one year, but through continual and sometimes even slow advances, God wipes out in his elect the corruptions of the flesh, cleansing them from guilt, which is awesome, consecrates them to himself as temples, renewing all their minds to true purity, that they may practice repentance throughout their lives and know that this warfare will only end at death. And so that's just it, is that you're becoming more holy. You're becoming sanctified through life, right? So it's a process. It's not, I don't just wake up or I don't just have my conversion and then no longer struggle anymore and then just try to go get other people to have their conversion so that they no longer have struggles, right? Like, that only happens through death. When I die, it's like my sanctification process has been completed. So I will be a sinner to the very last day on this earth. Mm-hmm. I have a guy, he's 82 years old. He goes to a Bible study with us on Monday and super faithful. He was a preacher in San Francisco. He has tons of stories of conversions that he's been a part of. Good friends with John MacArthur, which is, he doesn't think nothing of it, but I think that's sick.
Yeah, legendary.
Yeah. But there's a lot of signs, right? And he'll always say that when you become saved, you're not sinless, but you will sin less.
Ooh.
And that's, yeah, the little word play right there. And it always gets me. And so that's one thing, though, that, because I've talked to him about it, where I'm like, sometimes, because I've questioned my salvation, and it's gotten, it's so bad. Don't ever do it, because it ruined so much fruit. It's almost a
waste of time.
Well, it's a sin even too, yeah. Because what it did was, when I'm questioning my salvation, it's like I live to the world.
Mm.
If I know my eternity, the world. Yeah. If I live my eternity, like if I live knowing eternity, like God saved me and I have eternity, and that I should store up treasures in heaven. Mm. I walk completely different than a person who's like, well, maybe I am and maybe I'm not. And there's a lot of that in the church,
dude.
And that's why people just go to church on Sunday, because maybe I am saved. So, like, just in case I am, I'll go hit church.
Yeah.
But then Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday, I'll live how I want to live. Mm. And so it's one foot in, one foot out, like how we've talked. And so, you know, coming to where it's like I am saved is but because of my conversion. And then just looking at what God has done through me, right? Like, it's really sanctification that lets me know. And then I'm like, okay, I really am going to heaven for eternity. Yeah. I'm really going to experience that. And like, by the grace of God, praise God, that's so beautiful. And then it's like, I don't want to live in sin, right? Like, it's dead to me now. And so, but anyway, through the sanctification process, it's painful. And I'll talk about my own struggles with pornography, which has been, I think that's like one of the big ones. But like, pornography, for like the longest time, it was like I could go like 3-4 days, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, and I'd go back and then go back and forth. And you know, by the grace of God, it's, you know, for today it hasn't been an issue. And it's all, that whole process though was so painful, right? And then even like talking to Wally about it, where it's like I fall to my knees and it's like please God, take this from me. Like, I can't believe I fell again. And something that it would like make me think I'm not saved. Mm. But the reality was it was getting a lot better, right? And then slowly I was leaning more into Christ, and it was like a process of like getting rid of the sin, where I really wanted it to be just a right, like I'm turning this over to God and I never struggle with it again. But that sadly wasn't the case for me. You know, like I went back and forth with it, and you know, and so then that's a lot of sin in our life, right? Like when it gets revealed to you, I think that, you know, it's something I read last week by C.S. Lewis, as he talks about, you know, it's more so about leaning into God and that you will fall, right? Like I think a lot of the sin, we look at it and it's like, that's too big of something, right? Like I can't overcome that.
Dude.
And so I don't even try.
Dude.
But what we're called to do is pick up the cross and to follow him, right? And sometimes that cross might be pornography. That might be alcohol and drugs. It might be, maybe you're a pathological liar, which is crazy. That would be a crazy sin to struggle with, but it's a real thing, dude.
That's me. I'd be lying. Crazy.
You really, bro?
Oh, yeah.
Bro.
Bro.
Really?
Yeah. But what I was going to say.
Hey, you know what? We're all
saying. Hey, everything that's in the dark is going to be brought to light. Praise God.
Yeah.
I need to stop doing that. Sometimes I like to tell stories. And
oh, that's different.
Stories get a lot better when you throw a little
elaborate. You just, yeah, no, I do that. I thought you meant like just straight up the whole story's a lie, bro.
I've done that, bro. You guys, my mom. But back on track. Look, so what you were saying is I heard this thing on a podcast this week. It was the George Janko show. And praise God for him and his fiance, because they're very open on how early they are on their faith, and they're very open with their mistakes and where they fall, right? And it's good because it obviously brings people in, because they're like, okay, I'm messing up too, you know what I'm saying? And not to make it okay, but to be relatable and to be authentic, right? And so one thing he was saying, and it made me think about you, how you're always beating yourself up so much when you fall, you know, because he compared it to this. If two men were building a bridge together, right, if they're building anything, it doesn't have to be a bridge, if they're building something together, and the one man who knows that it's going to be okay, you know what I'm saying, like, when he makes a mistake building that thing, right, what does he do? It's okay, it's covered, it's fine, boom, let's keep building. But if the one man who isn't in that mindset, he makes a mistake and he just throws his tools in the water and gives up and all this stuff, there's never any progress made. You know what I'm saying? So because we know that our mistake doesn't determine our salvation, you know, Jesus determines our salvation. So it's like, we need to be that man who can make a mistake and then continue to build and grow and progress, you know what I'm saying, to build that bridge so they can walk across, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's fire.
But that what you're saying, that battle, it takes me to the article that I sent you by Ian M. Dugood, and it is saying, it was talking about in Philippians 2, where it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work within you. So Ian said, so because God is working in us, that's what motivates us. That's what encourages us. That's what strengthens us by his Holy Spirit to engage in the battle. And he said the battle image is a very active image. Soldiers in battle are not passive observers. They're not sitting there watching life go by. They're as actively engaged as anybody could be in any activity. So too, we are called to be actively engaged in sanctification. It is our great calling to pursue holiness, to aspire to that for which God has called us, and to strain every effort that we have. So the battle, you know what I'm saying, that we're in, this battle of sanctification, the end goal is the salvation, right? So think about it, when a soldier's in battle, he's fighting for his life, you know what I'm saying? Like, he knows if he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, he's going to die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we could take that to our own walk, because we're in this battle, right? We're soldiers for the Lord.
Yeah.
And there's a verse that says God gives his greatest battles to his toughest soldiers, right? And we have these battles in our life, and we're fighting literally for life and death, because every time we stop fighting, the enemy comes over us, right, and attacks us, and we die. We die to sin. We die to the porn, to the alcohol, to the drugs, to whatever. You know what I'm saying? So the minute we become stagnant in our walk and our sanctification process, the enemy has full advantage. You know what I'm saying? So it's so important that we're working out our salvation fearlessly, or with fear and trembling. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about that word, trembling.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you're shaking. You know what I'm saying? You're like, we need this. That we're desperation for God.
Yeah, yeah, no,
like, we need to be desperate for God. Yeah.
That's fire. Are you just, all right, so, and so this still, we're still going, like, this is still all sanctification, and this is, like, really what I think the big takeaway is, like, for the Christian who's not fighting at all, and what that looks like is, like, you don't read scripture, you don't pray, you know, you're not a part of the body,
mm-hmm.
You're not a giving heart, so you're not giving to your brother.
And Christian by title. More,
yeah, Christian by title, like, hey, it's in my
Sunday Christians.
IG bio, yeah. Which is so dumb,
John,
bro.
3:16 tatted on me. Don't get you to heaven.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Bro, get the crosses tatted. I'm straight. I'll be up there.
Praise God.
Bro, if you go from the judgment seat and you're just like, Bro, I had the tats, dog.
Jesus, please. Yeah. Do you see this?
Dude, I'm yatted with you, bro. Nah, dude. They would have never worked. And so I did, like, it helped me in my faith walk, knowing that it is supposed to be difficult, and then rejoicing, right? Because Paul nonstop is always like, rejoice in the suffering. And so when I'm coming across these trials of fighting evil, it's not a time for me to be like, oh, dude, like, oh, this sucks.
Again?
See, again, bro. It's like, I should be like, yes, dude. Like,
consider it great joy.
Yeah, I'm going to be more like God. I'm going to be more holy. Like, God, send me more of your battles. Send me more of your challenges, because now I'm going to be more like Christ. I'll be more fruitful. I can spread the gospel. Like, yes, God, like, I need these moments of, and then even, like, it shows light to my inconsistency and puts more light into the love of God. And so it's a good thing. If you're not struggling in your walk, you're not probably having a walk. If you're probably just living in the sin. But if you are, if you're like, man, and that's not, I wouldn't even say that's, like, I have this true joy. Like, I want to read scripture. Like, I have a true joy of prayer. Like, last night I was praying for you know, Wally and Nick and, like, a bunch of people, and it was lit, dude. I don't always get that. But, like, that's why I love to do it, is because that does happen sometimes, right? And so, like, those things aren't, like, there's no fight in that. There's no fight for me with that. The fight is not falling into, you know, lying, or not falling into jealousy, or not falling into, I'm trying to think of, we use really unrelatable sins sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, we do, bro. But when, like, when we, and it's all sin. It's all the same, so.
Yeah, when we're falling into that place of trying to numb, you know what I'm saying?
Numb, yeah,
we,
that's
we
good.
We
want
to be numb.
Watching
instead
TV, like a bunch of TV
escaping,
for hours.
Escaping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever that looks like. It's like when I fall into those things, and, you know, that's where I suffer, is like trying to stay away from that. And that's true good suffering.
But it's a fine line between trying to escape in God and having that fear and trembling to God, you know, because a lot of people, most people will turn to God in that time of true desperation. You know what I'm saying? Like, even P. Diddy, bro, you know what's going on with him. He came out with an apology. He was like, I'm really trying to get right with God now. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a difference between, you know what I'm saying? And God sees our hearts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So escaping in God, trying to get a feeling, some type of feeling, is...
Oh, bro, because I know you sent me this.
Yeah, like what I sent you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That thing, I don't know if you want to read it. It was pretty fire. Shout out my sister's friend, Ari. She posted this thing and was talking about, you know, as believers, like, we're always chasing this feeling. Like Chris was talking about, he had that fire in him when he was praying last night. But that feeling is not what's most important, you know, because if we're doing it just to have that feeling, it's the same thing as when we're down and we want to go smoke some weed so that we'll feel better. You know, we're sad. Our boyfriend broke up with us, so we want to go eat some ice cream to feel better.
All right, so here's my only thing, dude, because it's like, I don't think it's wrong, though.
It's not wrong at all, but your heart is where your heart's at. You know what I'm saying? And God knows that, and he sees that.
Because my only thing is, like, finding peace in God is a good thing. Like, that should be exactly what we escape to. We should want to escape to God. You know
what
I mean?
I'm talking about the feeling more.
But I think, because
I do that all the time, bro. I'll feel bad. So I'm going to God because I'm like, God, I feel horrible. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to feel this way anymore.
I don't think that's bad. I don't think that's bad.
Is it?
You're leaning into God. How would that be bad?
I don't know.
You're literally leaning into God.
Rebuke it then. Rebuke me.
Yeah, bro.
I rebuke myself. Yeah. I'm pointing at myself. I'm sorry.
Because when you're, what's bad is when you, because what are you turning? If you're feeling bad and you, well, like, you should, if you're feeling bad, like, yeah, you should be like, you're not turning into sin. You're like, that's growth. That's beautiful. Mm. That's beautiful that you're like, bro, I need to go to God because that's where I can find peace. I think more like what she wrote, though, was like, if you don't get it, how you should react. Right? Like, that's more what I got from it. It's like sometimes...
Well, read it so the people can discern for themselves. Okay. And I'm sorry if I was wrong. Please rebuke me.
They're going to be on it. Like, dude, there's been no
Let's
emotion.
Get some responses.
Bro, there's been no emotion on Instagram. They just all go on there to rebuke you.
Yeah, please do.
All right, it says, for the one who just doesn't feel it, who tries to get emotional in spiritual moments but just can't, friends, I ask you, maybe there's a less of feeling because there's a misplacement of expectation. We expect God to make us cry when he fills a room. We expect God to bring us to tears in a time of worship. We expect God to cause emotional outbreak while he's being glorified. When has his glory and worship ever been about us and what we feel from him? Why do we focus on trying to feel God's presence instead of focusing on becoming aware of God's presence? Why have we begun to replace learning from God and His Word with emotions and tearful experiences? I don't want a faith held hostage by feelings. I want my faith to govern my feelings. Feelings are not fact. God has created feelings, but they belong in their proper place. There's a time for everything. Live a life in awe of God, giving glory and praise to Him. But awe doesn't have to mean breaking down into tears in every season. Feelings and faith can work together. Sometimes tears are necessary. Sometimes we are criers. Sometimes you may feel it, but sometimes you just believe it and praise Him for it, and that's it. It's normal to want to feel. We want emotional intimacy with God, of course, but don't allow feelings to dictate our standing with the Savior. Yeah, bro, so feelings are good. I think she was saying, like, feelings are good, like, you do.
But that's not the most important thing.
Yeah, like, we're going after Him for He is God. But, yeah. Like, if you're saying you're in a bad place, it's like maybe you're going after Him because you want a good feeling, but if you're going after Him just because you know that's where you can find peace because He is the one true Savior, you know what I mean? I think more of her thing was just, like, it's not about us. It's about Him and worshiping Him and not about, like, what I gain from Him but who He is. But I feel like it all lines up with each other because, like, when you really glorify Him, no matter what, if you're in true glorification of God, you're always going to feel better. You know what I mean? If He's really getting the glory.
Amen to that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. And I'm sorry for what I said. That's good, though. We need back and forth. We need the back and forth. That's important because maybe someone was thinking that. I don't know. Maybe God wanted me to say that. I don't know.
God's will, he's gone, bro. Because He knows exactly already who's going to listen, bro. And He knows exactly where they're at. So
yeah. So
no stress.
Run to God in all times.
All right. So, but anyway, back to, we always do this, bro. Like, we hit so many topics.
Dude, run it up.
Praise God. That's the Holy Spirit, bro. We're free flowing, dude. But so back to the war. So this is something, it's from Holiness. And this chapter is the fight. And so someone sent me just 20 pages, just this one chapter from this book. I'm sure the rest of the book's great. It says, the true Christian is called to be a soldier. You must behave as such from the day of his conversion to the day of his death. He is not meant to live a life of religious ease, indolence, and security. He must never imagine for a moment that he can sleep and doze along the way to heaven. Like one traveling in an easy carriage, he takes his standard of Christianity from the children of his world. He may be content with such notions, but he will find no countenance for them in the Word of God. If the Bible is the rule of his faith and practice, he will find his course laid down very plainly in this matter. He must fight. With whom is the Christian soldier mean to fight? Not with other Christians. Wretched indeed is that man's idea of religion, who fancies that it consists in perpetual controversy. He who is never satisfied unless he is engaged in some strife between church and church, chapel and chapel, sect and sect, faction and faction, party and party, knows nothing yet as he ought to know. No doubt it may be absolutely needful sometimes to appeal to law courts. He goes in for a while. No, indeed, the principal fight of the Christian is with the world, the flesh, and the devil. These are his never-dying foes. These are the three chief enemies against whom he must wage war. Unless he gets the victory over these three, all those victories are useless and vain. If he had a nature like an angel and were not a fallen creature, the warfare would not be so essential. But with a corrupt heart, a busy devil, and an ensnaring world, he must either fight or be lost. Fire. And so that's really what we're getting to, is like the sanctification process is a fight. It is going to be tough. It's going to be difficult, but praise God if it is. Praise God, because that means you are in that process, and it should be difficult.
Being purified. If there was no fight, you know, you kind of got to look at yourself and be like, dang.
Yeah, like I got Satan on one side, I got the world on another, and then I got my own flesh, my own evil heart.
And that's a battle that we cannot fight on our own, that we will fall to every single time.
Yeah. Dude. And then through that, right, like when I start, you know, through God, like God will pull me through these battles. He changes my heart. And again, ultimately, God is the sanctifier, right? He's ultimately the one who makes us holy and set apart. But we still have to know that, like, it's going to be tough, right? It's, right, like, what is, like, as soon as Jesus gets baptized, what happens? He goes straight into the wilderness for 40 days and gets tempted by Satan, right? And so it's like, I feel like a lot of us, we get baptized into Christianity because it's culturally acceptable, or because, hey, I get a ticket into heaven, or, and that's none of it at all, right? Like, that's not the idea at all. It's like when you get baptized, you're especially in the spirit, like you're accepting a now spiritual battle that lasts for your entire life, you know, and it's gonna go, and that's the process. And then through that, like when you come out of these battles, you become holy, you become set apart, you become different, right? Because God starts to become, you become more like Christ. You literally become more like Christ by coming over these battles. Your faith strengthens. You say, God can bring me through these painful trials, right? And so then I start to look to God through my trials more and more, and I start to have more faith in what he can do. I start to see that the light, right, the darkness can't outshine the light. I start to see that in my own life. And I get to see it in the lives of others. And then through that, peace comes, right? Holiness comes, grace comes, mercy comes, through that process, right? That's where I get all of these things. And so that was a big thing that I wanted to hit on is, yes, ultimately God is the one who does it, but that we do suffer through it, and to just be happy through that suffering, because it means that, you know, your home is in heaven. And not only that, but to always remember through those sufferings that you've got a whole body that are suffering with you, right? And that you don't have to walk that battle alone, and that there are other people, right? True believers who really reach out to us. You know, we always say that. Yeah. 79 Cent Salvation on Instagram, DM us, please. You know, we really want to help as much as we can.
Yeah.
About to wrap it up.
Yeah. I just got one more thing. So I'm going to take your Old Testament real quick. Just on the topic of battles and this fight that we face, you know, how Chris said we're fighting the world, the devil, and the flesh, which is way more than we can handle. And in the story of David, there came a time where he faced such a great enemy that he lost faith because he started counting his men, the amount of people he had in his army, to see if he had enough to defeat this great army that was coming against him, right? And God, in that moment, told him, you're going to be turned over to your enemies because you did not rely on me. You relied on man. You relied on self, on your own resources, instead of knowing the promise. God had already gave David the promise that he will deliver him from all enemies, that there is no battle too great for God if he just trusts in him. And so what happens? David leans on man, leans on himself, and he gets wrecked. And that's the example of what will happen every time we rely on self, every time we try to fight these battles alone, you know. That's why we encourage you to get in the word, to get in scripture, to get in prayer, and then also surround yourself with like-minded believers, followers of Christ, people that have been marked and sealed with the Holy Spirit, because in those battles, you know, you need it. You need the full armor of God that you can only find in scripture. You need a brother or a sister around you who's going to hold up your arms when you cannot fight anymore. You know what I'm saying? So that is just our encouragement in this process, is to full reliance on God and get around some other believers.
Yes, sir. It's fire.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. You want to pray out? You got anything else?
Nah.
You want to pray?
Yeah, I'll pray out. Do we want to? So, also, though, guys, if you like the podcast, please share it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's helping you at all, you know,
let us God, know.
Let us know.
Yeah.
Get active with us on the Instagram. We really are encouraging that, because it'll be, you know, helpful not only for us, but I'm sure for whoever others reaches out, you know.
Yeah,
especially because you guys got to think that whatever you might be struggling with or anything that might have encouraged you, it could have been the same thing for somebody else.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's this is our little body, dude. The 79 Cent Nation, boy.
Family.
Hey, we worldwide, dude.
Yeah, we're worldwide.
Yeah.
Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide. But
shout out Pitbull.
Yeah, dude.
Nah. Raheem, don't listen to Pitbull.
No Pitbull, Raheem. Stay away.
Keep harvesting.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. Hey, he's locked in every week, dude.
Amen.
Yes, sir. He's going to love it. Yeah. All right. Yeah, we'll close out.
Oh, I just want to shout one more person out. Shout out my boy Ethan, who is week by week listening to every episode. He's been bringing me reports, and it's really impacting him. I know he's a little behind, but when he hears this, it's going to be dope. So shout out, Ethan. Very proud of you.
Dude.
Praise God.
Hey, it'll be lit, though, if God plans it, like, perfectly.
And Chris is wearing your Buccaneers jacket. Praise God.
Yes, sir. Hey, thank you, brother. I really appreciate that. It actually fits perfectly.
Didn't fit me. Sorry.
Yeah. He's a big guy.
All right, dude. Just pray, brother.
All right, just pray. All righty. Oh, God, I thank you so much for allowing me and Wally to do a podcast where we speak about you and we speak about your holy scripture. God, I just pray that if we ever say anything against your will, God, or against your word, that we would know it and that we could come on the next week and, you know, rebuke ourselves and, you know, just to make sure that we're leading people towards the one true God. God, I thank you so much for the cross and for what Jesus Christ did. We're sinners and none of us deserve salvation. And the fact that even one of us has it, and there's many more who do, is just outpouring grace, so much grace, God, and it's all from you. God, I just pray for anyone listening that you would please open up their hearts to truly, truly find all of their love and joy in Christ, to put aside the things of the world and just to see that their true joy is strictly in you, God, and you alone. God, again, I'm just so grateful that this is something that, you know, you have given the responsibility to me and Wally to get to do this, and especially that you brought us out of such deep sin in our life, that you've saved us and that you have set us apart and that we look completely different from how we used to walk, God, and that's truly and strictly because of you and your grace that we can be such different people. God, and I just pray for anyone else who might be in that deep sin as well, God, that they might as well get that same conversion and sanctification process, and that you would pour that Holy Spirit out into them, and that they would get to have that walk of faith, that battle. God, finally, I just pray for our battles, anyone, you know, anyone out there in the church, in the body of Christ that we face against sin, that we may rejoice knowing that it is there for a reason, and that it's a part of our process, and that we can be grateful for the suffering that we experience because we know it's for your ultimate glory, God, and your ultimate good. Praise you. We thank you. Amen. Amen.